Were you a hee-haw guy, Slee?
What if, but by the way, can you do this? You know how people will have music blasted? Can you have music blasted and you're listening to AM radio? Like, does that happen? Like, does somebody kind of pull up kind of mad staring, right? And it's around 6 o'clock and you just hear Sedano and LZ in the background? Is that possible?
I want to know if there were two cars parked at a red light in the last 20 minutes or so and both had their windows down and one car had something like this come out of it. And the other guy, like, hey, what are you listening to? What is that? That sounds pretty cool. I'd like to hear some more. What channel you got that on? Maybe that's
But by the way, what if the guy on the other side is, oh, that's Trav. That's Travis Sleeve. Yeah, that's Trav.
What,
Trav was saying yesterday about the peacocks over in San Marino.
Yeah, you never know. Here's a couple of quick.
Can I read one tweet off real quick?
Please.
Mid-City Juan. Yeah. Tell Trav, he says, Sliwa, tell Trav that the peacocks aren't only in the foothills. My mama's got a crib on Slauson and Western. They're okay. Down there as well. So let's just say.
Man, the peacocks are in the hood?
They're spreading around LA County. So let's stop pretending that they're only in certain spots here in the Pasadena area. That's
very
not the case.
Guys, I've lived here for like over 20 years. I've never seen one peacock yet.
Yeah, well,
I've never heard of this.
I could swing by and pick you up, and I can take you to Peacock Central in
Please
about 20
do.
Minutes.
And we'll go get a burrito, too.
Lousy with peacocks.
When we're back in studio, I'm going to bring a couple in.
That'd be great. Fair with Amanda first.
That's good. I like that. Here's another new name. I like that. This is You Want Payday, and it says, yeah, the ride would get canceled if Trav tried getting into the front seat, Slee, especially if he's solo. New COVID rules for Uber say driver can cancel if the rider don't ride in the back if he's alone. Plus, Travis is a Mysterio hater, so canceling ride if I was the driver. Okay, look. First of all, what's his name again? I lost him already. I'm not getting in COVID situation. That's different. We're just assuming the world has gone back to normal. I don't want you to catch my vid, and I don't want to get your vid. So we're going to stay away from each other in that regard. As for Mysterio, you're right. I did hate that guy. Mysterio made me wildly uncomfortable, and I'm glad that that is no longer a part of my daily existence. So you and I will agree to disagree on that one.
I'm gonna send Amanda an email, and the subject line is just gonna say peacocks, and I'm gonna get into, hey, listen, we had a conversation. Funches has never seen him in LA. We want to bring a couple in studio when we're back in studio. Just let me know what you think. We don't need an answer right away. What do you think she would do?
I think she'd be all right with it. They're beautiful. They're beautiful creatures. They have those blue heads and the beautiful
feathers. She'd respond back, you're an idiot. And then that would be
let's try it. Let's see what she says.
That'd be the end there.
Boss, we're going to bring in I don't know what you call a group of peacocks, a flock of peacocks, and we'll see what happens. One more here. This is a new name. I always love new names. It's from Adrian, and Adrian writes, I'm with you, Trav. Any trail, I'm looking for those mountain lines. Slee, you seriously, do you ever go for a hike up in the mountains once in a while?
I every year I go camp in different places, Sequoia, okay. Yosemite, stuff like that.
Perfect.
There are places where, you know, and I go with a buddy of mine, there are certain trails where I'm like, yeah, no, this is where the bear. Yeah, this is like you can't get a better environment. Two idiots, okay? Both of them have no idea what's going on. They have zero protect. Like, it's not like we're bringing a knife or something along those lines. This is where it happens. I've never seen a bear.
My wife and I were celebrating our 10th anniversary. This is a long time ago. And we were staying in Santa Barbara. And we went for a hike up in the Santa Ynez Mountains. And we got pretty far up there, and it was just the two of us. There was no one else on the trail. We hadn't seen anybody for the better part of 45 minutes or so. And we were trying to get all the way to the top because the views up there are just stunning. And we got about 85% of the way there, and I had that lizard brain part of me saying, you need to get out of here right now. This is a really bad spot to be in because you don't know what you're doing. You're out for a walk, and then there are things here that can eat you. I've never run down a mountain in my life until that day. And it took us about 3 hours to get that high. It took us about 30 minutes to get down.
I'm the guy that will go camping. I'm like, we should just keep the salmon in the tent. Let's keep the salmon in the tent just to make sure that it stays fresh.
I might want a snack in the middle of the night.
Let's not use the bear proof where you're supposed to put off. Let's just keep everything in the tent just in case.
Bears are pretty scary too. ESPN Radio presented by Progressive Insurance. Guests on the show appear via the Goodyear Hotline. All right, so I want you to take off your purple, red, yellow, and orange T-shirt, Slee, and not be the world's number one Jazz fan. I want you to be analyst.
It's Alan not easy.
Sliwa.
Not easy.
Analyst Slee.
Okay.
Lakers are out. Mm-hmm. Clippers are in. Do people care? Do people have interest in this? And here's what I'm getting at. I understand that if we were going to list the most popular teams in this city, and I think if you asked anybody to take off their jersey and just be honest about it, the two top teams in this city, everybody would answer the same thing. It's the Lakers and the Dodgers, right? Is there any argument there at all?
No.
Okay.
No. If so you want to argue 1-2, you can, but there's no argument.
Yep. Right. I think you and I are a perfect example. You would probably pick the Lakers first. I would pitch to the Dodgers first, but we're going to have the other one in second place no matter what.
Yep.
Right?
Okay. Yep.
So how far down the list do we go before you get to the Clips? Because does anybody want to put him number three? I don't.
Okay, so this is what I think. It's tough today because today they're actually a story. They're relevant right now. They are. Like in L.A. sports right now, they're relevant.
To who?
I think in L.A. we've let off a couple shows talking about them. We don't do that often. That doesn't happen. So I think that if the Clippers are just the regular – here's a good example. It's probably not the best example. When the Angels aren't good, nobody's really talking about the Angels, mm-hmm. right?
They're not number three either.
I agree with you. But when they're not good, we're not talking about the Angels. That's not a regular conversation that's being had. We might mention the Angels now because Ohtani, mm-hmm. right? That's the only reason why I mention. And that's a great reason to mention it, but it's taking an incredibly polarizing athlete that's doing things that haven't been done in 100 years, okay? Yeah. If the Clippers were not good, then they would be much further down the list. But I think right now there are relevant topics. But so I'm going to
that's
do my
though. Hold on. I want to be specific though. A topic on a given day is different than people caring, right? What I'm talking about is
but don't you care more today than you would if they weren't a relevant topic?
I might, but I'm a bad sample size. You're a bad sample size because we swim in the sports pool every day, right? We're in it. I'm talking about your mom, my mom, grandmothers, aunts, uncles that don't follow sports and these things. Like they know what's going on with the Lakers. They know that mm-hmm. LeBron and Anthony Davis are on the Lakers. They know that LeBron is aging. They know that Anthony Davis is hurt. These sorts of things. If I said to my mom, hey, give me somebody on the Clippers not named Kawhi Leonard, she probably couldn't do it. And I think that the point is it's just relevancy
generally
speaking. Call
her right
speaking.
Now. Funch, get her on the line.
generally speaking, right? Mm-hmm. And they're behind SC football. That's got to be number three in my book. Is you want to put somebody else in three?
Can I ask this question? So let's not say when the team is down. Let's say when the team is up. So let's use as an example. What's the buzz in LA when this team is good? Okay, so if USC is ranked top five in the country and you got Oregon coming into town and Oregon is top 10 in the country,
It
wouldn't even be that. Just the fact that we're even saying top five doesn't even go with the conversation. Right. The buzz in LA around USC would be much higher than the Clippers as one of the favorites to win an NBA championship. Is that a fair way to put it? Take top of what USC is, take top of what Clippers is.
It's not even
a conversation.
Not even close.
It's not even a conversation. Okay.
Yeah.
So let's say SC is done. SC is before the Clippers.
Okay. How about Rams?
You
took it right out. I think that the Rams come in after that, right? Mainly because it's the NFL, right? That the Rams are still in the process of building a fan base. They have them. I mean, I've been at every Rams home game other than last season. They're fans there. The Rams have a very robust fan base, but it's a process. They were gone for 25 years.
And it's the NFL. Absolutely.
It's the NFL. People are going to be. So the Rams are on that list. Conversely, I don't think the Chargers are in the top 10. They're not because they're still – I mean, you're a San Diegan. Mm-hmm. I still think of them as the San Diego Chargers. I still think of them as a team that's from San Diego that's just kind of here because I don't understand why.
No, the Chargers is – that might be the worst professional team in all of sports. And what I'm talking about is you're in a city in a big market and truly nobody cares about your existence. That's the truth. I mean, it's being honest. It's San Diego doesn't care about you because you left San Diego. LA doesn't care about you because they have other teams that they're interested in. So Chargers would be way, way further down the list.
Here's a tweet. This is from Era, and Era writes, Trav, we understand it's a Lakers town, but there are 10 million people in LA County, and yes, people care about the Clippers, and there's a huge fan base here in SoCal. We get you live in a bubble, but think outside your little bubble once in a while. That's what we're doing here, Era, and I hear you. I'm not the argument. Oh, by the way, my mom just texted and said Paul George, so I was wrong about that. but secondarily,
when she says Luke Kennard, tell me then. Okay, that's when I'm ready. I'm ready if she throws in Kennard.
She already. I think she probably tapped the mat after Paul George. I could be wrong. We'll see. Mom, do you know who Luke Kennard is? The question is not do they have – of course they do. Like, to your point, Era, there are – in greater Los Angeles, there are, what, 15, 20 million people? Of course they're fans. That's not the point. The question isn't viable business fans. Of course they are. I'm not crazy. I understand that. My point is relevancy inside the city. It's not do you have more than, say, the Kansas City Royals. Of course you do, because there's just more people here. But inside the city, where do they fall? And we've gone through four – and I don't think anybody would say that they're higher than fourth in this town. And I here's number five. It's the LA Kings. They've been here for 50 years. They've been very good, not super recently, but in the last 10 years or so, they've won a couple of Stanley Cups along the way. A diehard fan base. You saw it when they were making
diehard fan base. That's the key. It doesn't have to be that there's a million Kings fans out there, but the fans that are Kings fans, you feel them. You hear them. They can sweep a city.
I'm going to make a point that Arrow is kind of getting at. I'm not an LA Kings fan. I'm an Anaheim Ducks fan, okay? Mm-hmm. But I understand that the King fan base is far greater than the Ducks. Mm-hmm. It's far greater. I don't care. I'm a Ducks fan. But this is what I'm getting at. So now we're down to five. You want to throw UCLA basketball in there? Do we want to throw LAFC? Do we want there are so many other
Galaxy,
things.
Right?
So where are the Clippers in the top 10? That sounds insane to say out loud because we've already eliminated an NFL team, right? Mm-hmm. Chargers aren't in the top 10. Chargers might be behind Cal State Fullerton baseball. I mean, they're way down the list.
Chargers, University of Laverne has a really good their volleyball team right now.
Men's or women's?
I
follow both. Which one are you into?
I'm talking about the men's right now. Okay. They have a team that is pretty incredible to watch right now. So it's up there.
What about Sierra Canyon basketball with Bronny?
Yeah, they're good too. They're good too.
When you put it that way, I guess I kind of didn't think of it that way with the Clippers. I'm obviously a bad person to ask because I have interest in what's going on with the Clippers. I have interest in the NBA. I have a curiosity of, is this thing going to work? Obviously, I haven't hid the fact that I'm rooting for the Jazz to win, and I think that's just a very that's what a lot of Laker fans are doing, and we sound like we're 11-year-olds, but that's what's happening, right? And I'm sure there's Clipper fans that root for the Lakers to lose. Yeah, I don't know how far down that list they are. They got to be – you're right. Maybe it is 7th or 8th team of interest here in Southern California. Maybe it is that far down the list. And the difference between them and the Chargers and some of these other teams, it's not like they just came in a couple days ago. They've been here.
Here's another tweet. This is from 49ers Carlos. But first, ESPN Radio is presented by Progressive Insurance, and guests on the show appear via the Goodyear Hotline. Carlos writes, Trav, Rams ain't bigger. We, 49ers fans, outnumber their 2-1 at the home games. This is my point, Carlos. You're making my point for me. I don't know if that's true, but your larger point is true. There's a ton of 49er fans here in town. There are a ton of Steeler fans. There are a ton
of Cowboy
Eagle fans.
Cowboy
fans. Mm-hmm. Every time, Chiefs fans. Every time one of those teams comes into the Coliseum, well, SoFi starting now, there's a ton of them. That's the point. Chargers? Come on, man. Clippers?
Wait, what's going to happen? By the way, what's going to happen to the Chargers? And this is a real question. We're finally going to have fans inside of SoFi Stadium, right? Mm-hmm. There's finally going to
they
be fans 30,
there. 30,000 today, Slee, for a practice.
At SoFi?
Yes.
But we're obviously going to have now that we're going to have fans back. What happens to the Chargers? What's SoFi going to look like? Let me give you some games that they're going to have. Okay, Cowboys come in week 2.
Good game.
Raiders come in week 4.
Always a huge draw.
Cavs. the Browns come in week 5. Patriots come in week 8. Minnesota comes in week 10. You know why I'm throwing out these teams? Pittsburgh comes in week 11. Can you imagine what SoFi is going to look like? I mean, is that not going to be one of the most embarrassing looks for a sports franchise coming into this new stadium? It's going to literally be the entire road. It's going to almost be similar wherever they were playing Dignity Health, whatever that was, but now in front of 60,000 fans, 70,000 fans, rather than 25.
Yeah, it's not going to be a good look. But here's the thing. Let me say this to every person out there in L.A. that hasn't had a chance, and that's almost everybody. I've been very, very lucky in this regard. Whether it's a Rams game, a Chargers game, something, go to SoFi.
Get to SoFi.
It will blow
I haven't been.
Your damn mind.
It I still haven't been.
It is unbelievable. It is so, so good. All right, Sleep. You ready to be Siskel and or Ebert?
Sure.
Okay, you get to pick which one you want to be because we're going to break down the best action movies of all time. There's a list that's out, and it's all wrong. We're going to fix it. It's Travis and Slee, 710 ESPN.
This podcast is proud to be supported by Jet's Pizza, the number one pick in Detroit-style pizza. Why? It's simple. Jet's is better. With the thickest, crispiest, cheesiest Detroit-style pizza in the country, there's no competition. Right now, get $5 off any 8-corner pizza with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Go to JetsPizza.com to learn more and find a location near you. Again, try Jet's signature 8-corner pizza and get $5 off with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Jet's Pizza. Better because it has to be.
So here's what I need from you,
I got
you,
nothing.
Funch.
By the way, I got nothing.
Here's what I don't know if it's Funch or you can do it, Taylor. I need you to play the real peacock sound now, just so everybody understands my level of expertise when it comes to peacock sounds.
It's not bad. It's pretty close. It's pretty close.
I'm pretty close. I'm pretty happy with that. You have a tweet, Slee?
Yeah, let me read off this one. So, listen, I understand there's going to be Clipper fans that get protective. Mm-hmm. That think that we're going after the Clippers. Let me be as honest as I can possibly be. Here's the reality. If you're a Clippers fan, you shouldn't care what Laker fans say. You really shouldn't. You shouldn't care what I say. At the end of the day, if your team wins, that's going to be the most important thing that happens. So when we're saying where do the Clippers rank as far as importance in Los Angeles, I'm not saying that to it's not to demean the Clippers. It's the reality. You were just talking about, okay, SC, think about if it's a big game, what it's going to be like. Think about the LA Kings when they were winning their Stanley Cups, what the city kind of looked like. Ara Messerlian on Twitter says, been a Clipper fan since 1990. We get we're not top four in relevancy in LA, but don't care. Laker fans think we care, but the whole point is underdog role. We are fine being where we're at. It's just fun cheering for a team that's not easy like the Lakers. That's fine. There's nothing. By the way, I've said this before. I will give credit to the Clippers, but you have to give a reason to give credit for. Mm-hmm. So what am I supposed to do? They won the first round against the Dallas Mavericks. It took them 7 games in a series that most people thought it was going to take 5. I'm supposed to give them credit for that? They start the series against the Utah Jazz a couple days ago. They lose game 1 without Mike Conley. And I was reading articles, and I was listening to people say, well, look at the travel they've been in. They've played this many games. They've done That's their problem. That ain't the Jazz problem. Jazz wrapped up the series against Memphis. They were sitting back for 6 days. Give credit when it's due. It's not due.
Yeah, I hear what Eric's saying, but the last part of it, it's just fun cheering for a team that's not easy like the Lakers. First of all, I don't know if it's fun to be a Laker fan. It's also not easy to be a Laker fan because if you don't win at all, you're disappointed. That's not easy. The target is all of it or bad season. That's not easy. The idea of, hey, we beat a team lower seeded than us and came back, it's a pretty good year. That's easy. The easy part is just anything other than total disaster is considered a win. That seems easier to me. What do I know? All right, one more here. This on the same topic, kind of ranking the local teams. John writes, number 1, Lakers. Number 2, Dodgers. Yes. Number 3, bacon-wrapped hot dog cart guy. Mm. He certainly deserves a higher ranking. We missed him.
Did not see that coming. Okay. What else
number
we got
4,
there?
Rams. Number 5, Galaxy. 5B, the other LA soccer team, allegedly.
Okay.
You mean LAFC. Number 6, the Angels, not a chance. And number 7, Slee's 24-hour fitness basketball squad.
It's not a bad squad. Let me tell you right now. there's a lot of upside. Let's just say that. We had a rough couple of seasons, but we're really expecting to make some noise this upcoming bracket. Thank you for putting that in the top 10.
Are you guys making
there.
The playoffs?
That's not. We're rebuilding. We've been rebuilding for 9 years.
And then I missed one. It says number 184, the Clippers. So, yeah.
They really shouldn't care. If I'm a Clipper fan, they definitely shouldn't care. But we're sitting in a position where I don't like the conversation of, well, you know what, I've read the headline when they passed the Dallas Mavericks. It was as if they accomplished something. Yesterday, I heard a lot of excuses for the Clippers. Just get it done. The Lakers are freaking out. They are out of the playoffs. Has there ever been a path for the Los Angeles Clippers to represent the West in the freaking finals? There has never been a path like this. Take advantage of it. The problem with the Clippers is we've had this conversation before. They folded in the past. We'll see if something changes this year.
And can I just throw one more piece in this? Because the more you're talking, the more it resonated.
The 24-hour fitness thing?
No, not that.
Okay.
How does a team with Kawhi Leonard and Paul George honestly look at themselves in the mirror considering themselves underdogs? Come on, man. Come on. You've got Kawhi Leonard and Paul George. You've got a championship-caliber coach.
Rajon Rondo.
You had a championship-winning coach in Doc Rivers. You have the richest owner in the NBA. Come on, man. You're underdogs? Stop. You used to be. You used to. When Michael Obokandi was
your best player. No, but the mentality is still that. I think, actually, that's a more important point, that the mentality is still underdog. They can't get out of that. They can't – until they actually – become a team and a franchise that, let's say, gets to the finals, wins an NBA champ, something along those lines, maybe it's kind of engraved in a lot of some of these fans to think, yeah, we are the underdog because they've always been the underdog. But you're right. The moment, Trev, when Paul George, do you remember that night? Was it all on the same day, Paul George and Kawhi, right? That all happened simultaneously.
But it happened really quick.
Did you think, oh my gosh, that's an underdog there? No, you didn't. You never did. You thought the Lakers, Clippers, those are the two best teams in the NBA. That's what you thought.
The second Steve Ballmer bought that team, they weren't the underdog anymore. The resources that he has, the commitment that he has to winning, the fact that they got those, it's all changed. It used to be they were underdogs because they were clumsy. They would always shoot themselves in the foot.
And their owner had a lot to do with that.
Laughable. He was, yep. He was, you know, despicable and laughable. But he was that guy. So not anymore. They're what they are right now. They're not underdogs. They're underachievers. That's what they are. An underdog was a team that had Danny Manning on a rebuilt leg that was trying to find their way through, and maybe they'd been a series. That's an underdog.
Can I give you a better example? An underdog is, before Kawhi and PG came, it was Patrick Beverley and Lou Williams taking the Warriors to 6 games. That's right. An underdog.
Right.
That's you're not supposed to win. Not anymore. And when I say the path has, if the Lakers have always been a thorn in the Clippers' side, the Lakers are out. The West is wide open for you.
Yeah. Underachieving has Kawhi Leonard and Paul George blowing a 3-1 lead in the second round. Underachieving means you have Kawhi Leonard and Paul George blowing a 13-point lead in the first half of a second round game, and the other team is missing one of their best players. That's not underdog.
And I still think I have not personally viewed them as an underdog. I actually think they're going to end up beating the Utah Jazz. I'd be more surprised that they're not the team representing the West when it's all said and done. Even though I don't want that to happen, that could very well happen.
All right, let's do this. ESPN Radio is presented by Progressive Insurance. Cars, homes, boats, motorcycles, RVs, and more at progressive.com. Do you want to be Siskel or Ebert, Slee?
I'll be Ebert.
Oh, good. I was afraid you were going to set that up differently. I'm very happy to be Siskel in this situation.
No, we're good.
We're breaking down action movies and making a bad list right. That's coming up next. It's Travis and Slee, 710 ESPN.
Hi, it's Mike Greenberg letting you know ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sportsbook of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me, plus many more. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today. New users get a bet reset up to $1,000 in bonus bets if your first bet doesn't win. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
What you should do when you're pulling up, if you're ever at a stoplight, come in with this music. Come in with this right here.
Somebody suggested that my pull up to the red light music would have been Air Supply, I'm All Out of Love. Don't get me wrong. I'll listen to a little Air Supply. I'm not opposed to it. But
wait. The hook
really
is coming. The hook is coming in.
I'm all out of love. I'm so lost without you. That one.
That's pretty good right there.
Yeah.
Okay, you saw?
It's right next to my peacock impression.
You saw some article about best action movies?
Well, you don't want to hear about my peacocks anymore? That's the actual peacock.
I
That's
did not
me.
No more. Yeah, no more
so,
of those.
I was prepping for the show, and by that I mean surfing the internet, wasting time.
Okay.
And I came across a list of the 30 greatest action movies of all time as compiled by Mental Floss, the website.
Okay.
So I'm like, yeah, cool. You know, I like those movies. We'll check them out. Have you ever heard? This is the number one movie on their list. The greatest action movies of all time. They went way back to 1953.
Okay.
And it's a movie called The Wages of Fear. You big fan?
Never heard of it in my life.
Okay. Neither had I. So we got off to a bad start right there. Then they go back almost as far, 1954, The Seven Samurai. Now, that one's a classic that I think a lot of people have seen, but it's 75 years old at this point.
Where I think they got, at least in their top five, I could see Enter the Dragon on a lot of people's list.
Uh-huh.
I could see Enter the Dragon on a lot of people's list.
They've got Goldfinger at three. They've got Shaft at four. Enter the Dragon, like you mentioned, at number five. The Driver from 1978. Don't know it.
And then they go through a streak here to round up the top 15. Fast and the Furious 3, 6, 7, and 8 are all four in a row.
Yes. Yes. Yeah. All right. So you get the first pick in the action movie draft sleeve. You're telling somebody you have to start with this movie to kind of not only do I love it, but it's a cultural touchstone. What are you picking?
So I looked through their list, and I just kind of think of movies that popped up right away. This one's got to be on my list. All right? And it doesn't have to be in any specific order.
Okay.
Predator is one of my favorite movies of all time.
Get back to the chopper.
That is one of my favorite movies of all time. By the way, it's kind of funny because you could put a ton of Arnold Schwarzenegger movies in there. Predator's probably my favorite of all the and I know you got Terminator. I know you got RoboCop. I know there's others that you could throw in there. Mm-hmm. But Predator is always going to be on my list.
Predator's not bad. It's fine. It wouldn't make my top three or four. But here's number one, because not only is it just a really good movie, which is important. It's not just stuff blowing up. It's not just guns being fired. It's actually you're kind of interested
plot.
To see what happens next. Like, how does this end? Does the good guy win? Do the bad guys win? And we're still talking about this movie 30 years after it came out. We still have a very heated cultural discussion about its relevancy. Die Hard. Die Hard is the movie, right? That not only is it a good movie, you want to see Hans Gruber get blown up.
Mm-hmm.
You want to see yippee-ki-yay, banky-banky, right? Mm-hmm. You want to hear. We all know what those things mean. We still talk about whether or not it's a Christmas movie. It's not. That's a fact. But Die Hard is it's got a legendary action hero in Bruce Willis. Is there any better action movie than Die Hard?
I'm going to throw another one. I'm going to throw another one at you. Were you a Dark Knight fan?
Yeah, really good.
Okay, I thought that's one of my favorite ones. Were you a Point Break fan? I know it's a little bit, but were you a Point Break fan?
Point Break is a really good choice. And anybody that wants to weigh on this, 877-710-ESPN.
Don't hate on Point Break, Travis.
710-ESPN.
Don't hate on it.
Point Break was great.
You can send in your tweets as well. Point Break is a really fun movie, but it's mostly fun. And don't get if I'm flipping channels and I see Point Break, I'm stopping. I'm watching it. Okay, so that's a good test in and of itself. But I like it more because it's so campy and ridiculous more than it's a good movie.
Cross the line and people trusted you and they died.
I am an FBI agent. I mean, it's some of the most terrible acting you're ever going to see, but it's unbelievably watchable.
By the way, that kind of falls into, there's a lot of these action movies where at one point you're like, oh, this is something else. And then you go back and watch it and you are like, okay, this is cheesy as hell, or what the hell are we, how is that part of the script? You got some of those moments in Point Break, but I'm still a big fan of Point Break.
So am I, but it's not good, but I still love it, if that makes any sense. By the way, if I said this to you, would you know what I mean? Utah, get me two. Funch, you look like
of course
you know
I
what
do. Gary Busey, man.
That's right.
Legendary.
He wants two meatball sandwiches. Utah, get me two. Yeah, yours is the one that looks like a roadkill.
You know what I thought? Like shot like 2 minutes later.
You know what I thought you were talking about? Utah get me two? Let's get that second win tonight. Let's go, Jazz. Come on. Let's get one more.
All right. So
get one more in there.
Here's another one that goes back. It's kind of old, but not super, super old. And again, it's a good movie, somebody that is synonymous with action movies, and it was kind of the first of its kind when it came to exploring kind of the dark side of some of these action guys. First Blood. Okay, I'm not talking Rambo, where he goes back into the jungle and frees the POWs. Yep. That was more just watch stuff blow up, right? But Rambo was a troubled guy, kind of in search of his identity in a new world, going through and getting hassled by the hillbilly cops. And he wasn't doing anything wrong, and they give him a hard time. They squirt him with the hose. They throw him in jail. He just wanted to walk through town. And they messed with the wrong guy, and he squared the account. That is a great movie. And Sylvester Stallone, who's over the top in just about everything he does, actually pretty chill performance in that movie. It's pretty damn good.
You know which one was my favorite movie for a long time, and I think it's definitely one of those that falls into the criteria of, okay, yeah, this was good at one point. Yeah, you probably don't need to watch this again. I used to love The Rock. I used to love The Rock. I really did. For some reason, I thought, I was like, I remember first time I watched him, this is it. They don't make any better films than this.
Citizen Kane, Gone with the Wind, Take Him Down, put The Rock on the list of greatest. Here's where they lost. Two things happened in The Rock. Mm-hmm. Number one, Stanley Goodspeed. Stop. You can't be called Stanley Goodspeed. That's a ridiculous name. Number two, Nick Cage, unless he's drinking himself to death with Elizabeth Shue, I'm out. That movie, Leaving Las Vegas, was great, mostly because Elizabeth Shue was in it. Huge fan. But Nick Cage is no.
I walked away saying, no, it's official. Nicolas Cage is the GOAT. This is, we do GOAT in sports. Nicolas Cage is the GOAT in his industry.
No, the real GOAT is Sean Connery in that movie.
Sean Connery's a man in that
Welcome
movie.
Welcome to The Rock.
Hold on. He's been in prison for 30 years, and now he's a Navy SEAL all of a sudden. This feels a little bit of a stretch.
I have a difficult time why you're trying to overanalyze this. Just appreciate greatness.
Because this is what makes him great. I'm not saying that I haven't watched it more than once. I'm saying this is actually good, and look at how terrible this thing is. Let me spend 2 hours.
Now, give me another one. What's another action one you got?
Are you guys in on Terminator. The Fast and Furious movies?
I'm out on those because they're not, but I get it. I get why people like them.
I don't get it, and no, I'm not in on them.
Terminator. Really?
Yeah, I'm not in. I have not seen one Fast and Furious.
I like watching a movie, but I hate myself after I watch it.
You know who likes those movies?
Who?
My wife.
Really?
And she's not a car person. She's not an action movie
person.
Seems
like she's a Vin Diesel person then.
She likes those movies. I think it's more The Rock than it is Vin Diesel.
Oh, yeah? Oh.
Yeah, it's more that, but that's fine. I'm
Terminator? You threw in Terminator? Yeah, no, that's
Game Changer.
That's a no-brainer. That's a no-brainer.
Kind of a sci-fi element, kind of just a shoot-em-up element. There's a whole bunch.
Can I give you one fact about Terminator?
Hit me, folks.
The original Terminator was supposed to be O.J. Simpson.
Really?
Yeah. Before Arnold, they asked O.J. Simpson to be the Terminator. Hmm.
Did you know that, Trav?
I didn't, but I like my – I'm just going to leave it. I'm just letting it sit there.
Yeah, leave it alone. Don't do anything with it.
Funch, don't get me wrong. I'm really happy you told me that.
Yes, I did.
But I'm just going to leave that there because I feel like whatever I say next is not going to go well for me. So I'll just leave it there, and we'll take our first phone call here. Let's go to Juan. Juan. You're on with Travis and Slee. What's going on?
Ooh, Bloodsport. That's a good one. Somebody just mentioned on Twitter. What's going on, Juan? Hey.
What's up, Trav? Man, it's the first time I call you guys in the little duo in the morning, man. I'm happy to be on here with you guys.
Happy to have you.
Hey, my question was, let me get right to it. Commando with Arnold Schwarzenegger. You guys remember that one?
Oh, sure. Let off some steam, Bennett. Of course I know that movie.
I think it kills like 60 individual people in that movie, bro. You make that a drinking game? You'll black out. I just wanted to see if you guys remember that one, but that's a really good one. And then that's funny that they asked OJ. That movie would be completely different if OJ was in it, bro.
That's a really good way of saying it, Juan. That is a...
Hey, I'm out.
By
I'm
the
out
way,
on that one. Yep.
You could have given me a week to come up with the perfect sentence to kind of summarize what Funch just told us, and Juan got it on the first try. That would be a very different movie with O.J. as the Terminator. Yes, it would.
We got a lot of people coming after us for one movie we missed out, Bloodsport. I can't argue that one. No, don't hesitate. Bloodsport is that's on the
come
list.
On,
that's definitely
Travis.
On the list.
Jean-Claude Van Damme?
That's
a great movie.
Wait, hold on. Is that the one where Chun-Li is kicking the pillar and all the dust comes off? Is that that movie? Or is that a different Jean-Claude Van
Damme? It's a different one. I think it's Kickboxer.
Okay, that's good. I did kind of like that one because Chun-Li was terrifying.
Remember in Bloodsport where he got the guy put the powder in his eye or something along those lines?
Yeah, yeah.
And then he just makes it happen without seeing anything. Oh, come on, Trav.
That whole montage when he was blind and stuff, yeah, I remember
Let's
that.
Try one more here. Let's go to Chino Hills and Chris. Chris, you're on with Travis and Slee.
Hey, guys. My suggestion was going to be, have you guys ever seen the Professional with Jean Reno and a very young Natalie Portman?
Oh, yeah, that is good.
Yeah, I've not seen it.
Gary Oldman. I mean, because it's basically like John Wick before, you know, the John Wick movies. Mm. If this is like what predates it and really sets up the John Wick movies, it's a Professional. So good.
That is a very good call. That's kind of deep in the catalog. You'd have to be kind of a movie person, I think. Maybe not. I put it this way. I don't see everything that comes out, but I have seen that one. That's not a bad call. Good job, Chris.
This is making me, by the way, this is making me want to go back and see a couple. It's been so long since I've seen some of these movies. Honestly, it's been so long since I've gone back and seen some of these movies.
Hold on a second. Let me check here. You're done with your day in 21 minutes?
Yep.
You've got Netflix. You've got Amazon Prime. Go to work.
Can I tell you something? By the time I'm done with three movies, it will still be 4:30.
And you'll have had your six beers by then.
I'll be sitting back like, what the hell do I do now? Should I do Lakers talk tonight?
Let's try another one. Menifee. And is it Keely? Keely, you're on with Travis and Slee.
Hey, guys. What's up? It's Keel, actually.
Keel. But, sorry about that.
Yeah. So two things real quick. In The Rock, they killed off Michael Biehn, the star in Terminator, really early in that movie.
Yes.
They were sending a message. That's what they were doing.
So, anyway, okay, well, I didn't like that. But what I was going to say is, what about Aliens with Sigourney Weaver?
Okay, so we're talking about Ripley, right? Sigourney Weaver's character. So, look, those are good movies. And
no, Alien's a good one, too.
It is, but, mm-hmm. Okay, is that an action movie, or is that like a space movie?
More like a romantic.
Movie, a sci-fi
I'd say it's an action movie.
Is it? Okay, I could be talked into it. That's fine. But I don't know. Those are kind of creepy. That's more horror-y, sci-fi than action to me. Good, but...
Yeah, that has more of a horror feel, but there's definitely action to it. I think there is a... It's kind of funny. Alien, I did not think of, but when somebody brings up... By the way, all these that people are bringing up, it really does kind of take you back. I haven't seen these movies in so long. I mean, even the ones that I mentioned. If I mentioned Point Break, I mentioned The Rock. I think I mentioned Predator. Enter the Dragon is a good one. Dark mm-hmm. Knight, I think we mentioned for a quick second. But I haven't seen these movies in 10-plus years. Easy 10-plus years.
But you can remember them. That's how you know they're good movies. That's how you know they're great action movies. The calls are rolling in. We're going to continue to do that, too. And also, Slee, there's a very disturbing trend in the sports world that I am refusing to be a part of. I'll tell you what it is next. It's Travis and Slee, 710 ESPN. Yeah, I had a feeling this might be there. You remember this, right, Slee?
We all know breakfast is an important part of your day. But sometimes when you're traveling for business, you end up staying at a hotel that doesn't offer any. You know what happens? You grab a cup of coffee and skip the meal entirely. We've all been there. But if you book a room at La Quinta by Wyndham, you can enjoy their free Bright Side breakfast featuring delicious baked goods, fruit, eggs, yogurt, and waffles. And really, who doesn't want to start their day with a fresh hot waffle? Tonight, La Quinta, tomorrow you shine. Book direct at LQ.com.
It's one of my, this is actually my alarm.
So, you know what this
is? My second
you of?
Alarm. It's not my first alarm. It's the second one that comes on.
All right. So, all of you that are listening that are old enough to remember that song when it came out and it was playing on the radio, tell me if this doesn't take you back. That you're in the junior high school gym, and that song comes out. It's one of the two or three slow dances that you're going to get that day. And there's that cute girl that you've had your eye on for a while, or cute boy you've had your eye on. And you go over, hey, would you like to dance with me? Sure. And then you go and you put your hands on top of her shoulders, and she puts her hands on top of your shoulders, and you kind of rock back and forth.
As far away as possible. You guys are holding each other as far away as possible.
You could fit two other people in between where the two of you are standing, but you're feeling the air supply. You're all out of love. You can't live without you. And it's like, I just danced with that girl.
Appreciate you taking us back, Trev. Thank you, man. That was
Well, you never did that?
Well, no. I'm just saying with the music that it kind of took us back to that doesn't sound like something you just made up. That sounds like something that literally happened with that song in the high school or in the middle school gym.
That's exactly what happened.
Yeah, I know.
That was not a creative writing exercise. That was a memory that did. Look, music's powerful. Music and smells, right? You sometimes just, that reminds me of this. But little hands on the shoulders, rocking back and forth. We are getting a ton of input, Slee, on the best action movies. Very quickly, this is from Anthony Rincon. He writes, yo, Kickboxer is greater than Bloodsport. Also, Van Damme, hell of a run in the 90s.
Oh, Van Damme was killing it. Let's not pretend. Van Damme was killing it in the 90s.
Not my guy, but yes, he was. This is from Dean. Kickboxer seemed more realistic than Bloodsport because his brother, who was the U.S. champ and had spent his entire life as a kickboxer, got worked, but his brother trained for 2 weeks and was able to destroy Tong Po. See? This is the sort of analysis we need.
That scene I mentioned earlier when Jean-Claude gets the powder in his eyes, when that scene was going on, I'm like, I'm going to go jog outside. I'm going to go do something. I'm going to do 100 push-ups right now. I get to like 9 and I'm like, that's it. That's all I can go.
That's enough.
I was like, no, this is going to be my career. I want to do what they're doing in Bloodsport. This is going to be my future.
This is Jack Burton, and he writes, Face Off with Travolta and Nick Cage is the best action movie y'all haven't mentioned yet. It's actually better than everything you have named with actual action scenes and plot. Jack, you're going to have to refresh my memory. Is there a second Face Off movie? Because the one that I saw with Nick Cage and John Travolta would go on the list of worst movies ever produced. There must be a second one that you really liked, because there's no way we're talking about the same movie.
Yeah, I didn't care much for Face Off.
Not over the top acting in that movie.
No. Well, you don't say. Something involving Nick Cage and John Travolta had over the top acting? Really? Are you sure? I mean, come on. Those guys are the kings of that. Let's try another one on the phone. Let's go to Riverside and Greg. Greg, you're on with Travis and Slee.
Hey, guys. How y'all doing, man?
Good, right, buddy. So, thanks for calling in.
I've got two with Robert De Niro. The first one is Heat. Got to be way up there, man. I mean, Pacino, De Niro, Val Kilmer.
Yeah, no argument
an
there.
Awesome movie.
Michael Madsen's good in that movie, too.
Oh, man, just a phenomenal movie. And then the other one that's a little obscure was De Niro with Jean Reno and Sean Bean called Ronin.
Also good.
You guys ever seen that?
Yeah, I've seen it once, and I liked it, but I couldn't tell you anything about it. I remember liking it. But Heat, Slee, that's one that's got to be on the list.
That's a classic.
Right? Thanks, Greg.
That's a classic. There's a lot of people saying The Warriors.
Again, kind of campy.
I haven't seen it.
That doesn't ring a bell?
I'm going to watch it today, man.
Rings a bell, but I've not seen that movie.
Yeah. The Warriors was good. I don't know if it makes that list. Let's try another one here. Van Nuys and Mario. Mario, you're on with Travis and Slee.
Hey, what's going on, you guys? Another rock movie that a lot of people sleep on is The Rundown with Christopher Walken.
I don't know that one.
Yeah, I didn't see that. Did not see that.
Take me through it. What's the plot, Mario? Hit me.
So The Rock is like a bounty hunter, and he's hired to go capture some guy in Brazil, and Christopher Walken does not want to let him go with The Rock because he found a gold treasure worth like $14 million, and Christopher Walken tries to steal all the money.
Look, I'm sold. All I needed to hear was The Rock and Christopher Walken, and I'm in. I don't even care what happens after that. I want those two guys to share the screen together.
Let's do this. We have 10 minutes left in the show. Let's play the audio of the first 10 minutes of that movie. Let's see maybe if it gets us going a little bit.
Did you like Heat? Were you a Heat guy, Slee?
Yeah. It's kind of funny. There's There's a lot of these movies that I go back and I start thinking, I'm like, all right, when's the last time I seen this movie? And there's a lot of suggestions right now. By the way, somebody said, Brandon Craig says, G-Force takes the cake of worst movie ever produced. Don't kid yourself. So now we got people chiming in on the worst movies ever
also
produced.
Also fun. Yeah, I like that.
But I definitely want to – I got to pick two or three here that I got to go back in and say, all right, let's watch one of these. But there's a few of them I haven't seen, so –
Well, this is the thing, right? Mm-hmm. That if it's a great one, we've probably all seen it, right? That's what makes it great. It has that cultural ubiquity.
No, you'd be surprised. There's definitely probably some movies that are great that I have not seen.
For instance, this – okay, hold on. I'm going to fast forward the tape to 9:45 tomorrow. It's time for Ask Slee. First up is Travis in Laguna Niguel. Travis writes, Slee, what's the most famous movie that you've never seen?
You'd have to tell me. You'd have to say, "Hey, Al, this is one of the best movies ever."
Have you seen Star Wars?
Yes.
Have you seen The Godfather?
Yeah, of course. Yep.
Have you seen Scarface?
Those classics, no question.
Have
about
you seen
it.
Raiders of the Lost Ark, Jaws, E.T.?
Yes, on all three of them.
Okay.
But go to action movies. Some of the action movies that there's a few on this, like Warriors. I've never seen. And Funch said you got to go see that right away. I've never seen that before.
RoboCop.
Yeah.
All right. I'm going down the list. I know you've seen that. You can't tell me you haven't seen big movies and then not be able to tell me The Fugitive. Have you seen that?
Fugitive, good one. Harrison Ford, yep.
Speed.
This is the sad thing about Speed. That's one of my favorite movies, too. Did you think that was a good one?
It was fine.
Are you kidding me?
It was fine.
Granted, I haven't seen it in 20 years, but that's definitely another
all,
one.
A very young Sandra Bullock, so it's a very good movie. That's always fun. And you've got a good bad guy, and then you've got Keanu Reeves doing what he does, which is just kind of staring into the camera and grunting. It's pretty good.
Keanu Reeves got paid back in the days. That dude was getting paid
still
back
does,
in the
I
days.
Think. I mean, those John Wick movies, he's not doing those for free.
I got to find – I'm sure there's a few classics I haven't seen before, so we'll find them.
Peeling that in. We're going to find them for sure. The Dump coming up next, Travis and Slee, 710 ESPN. All right, Slee, let's start with this one. Five years ago today, June 10th, 2016, a kind of infamous moment in the history of the NBA that really kind of changed the history of one person's legacy. Draymond Green kicked LeBron James in the junk on this day 5 years ago. Remember, of course, that was his X amount of flagrant fouls. He gets suspended for the next
game. Open the window.
The Cavs win. They open the window for Game 7. LeBron beats the 73-win Warriors and cements himself as one of those dudes. That happened 5 years ago today.
Yeah, isn't that funny? You kind of look back at that run that the Golden State Warriors had, and that play alone, which I don't know if that then led. If they win an NBA championship that year, does Kevin Durant still go to the Golden State Warriors? I don't have the answer to that. But that
LeBron's
will,
legacy is very different, that's for sure.
That will go down as, you know, one of the best Game 7s in the history of the NBA, and all of that started because of Draymond Green getting that, that flagrant two or whatever they called it.
Do you buy this theory? Because I've heard this a bunch, and I saw it again today when they were talking about the anniversary of this, that when LeBron beat the Warriors, when LeBron came back from 3-1, and not only did he win because he led the series in literally everything, minutes, points, rebounds, blocks, steals, all of it. Pick a stat, LeBron James led it. He had the iconic block against Iguodala that changed everything. That and then all of a sudden the GOAT conversation between Michael and LeBron started to really heat up in earnest for the first time, and that was the inspiration for Michael Jordan to sign off on that documentary on the last – I'm forgetting the name of it right now.
The Last Dance.
The Last Dance. Thank you. That's what finally decided to say, yes, let's release that footage. Let's do The Last Dance. That was the impetus.
I never read that before. I had no idea that was connected. I would hope that it wasn't connected. I would hope that Jordan would just kind of decide at some point they're going to release this footage, and it's going to be fascinating because here's the reality. He doesn't need that moment to do that. That's the bottom line.
You don't think so, and I don't think so, and most basketball fans probably don't think so. Michael Jordan thinks so. Look, what did we learn from The Last Dance? Mm-hmm. One, it was fun to kind of run down memory road and watch Michael do Michael things. It was incredibly awesome. But we also learned Michael's pretty petty. Michael carries chips. Michael likes to keep score. Michael does not like to have people say things about him that he doesn't agree with. And it doesn't surprise me at all that Michael said, you know what? I'll put an end to it. I'll remind everybody who I am. Watch this.
I think no matter what, whether he released that when he did, a year ago, whatever it was, or they released it 5 years from now, I think that there's enough always there that people remember Michael Jordan, what he did back in those 90s. I hope it had nothing to do with this, with that LeBron James moment.
Yeah, we'll see. We will see. All right, next one. You can go get your plate and start heading to the line, Slee. Buffets in Las Vegas are open. You can go get your eat on. You can have as many powdered scrambled eggs as you want. You can put 48 slices of bacon on your plate. You can get 4 slices of prime rib and a bagel with cream cheese. Are you in?
This one surprises me that you're not as passionate about this as I thought you'd be. Because what you've told me is that quantity sometimes is more important than quality.
No, I've never said that.
You have said that. No. With the helmet nachos, weren't you saying how big it is, how much chips
are
there?
Not, the quality is there. No, quality plus
quality
is awesome.
Not. Listen, don't make your case that there's quality in helmet nachos Dodger Stadium.
You haven't gotten somebody did you wrong with the helmet nachos that you tried, because they're fantastic and there's enough there to feed an entire family. But buffets, with a few exceptions, looking at you, Ritz-Carlton Four Seasons in Santa Barbara. You can go ahead and start that buffet again. That thing's incredible. But most buffets are just really average food.
Couldn't agree more.
Yeah. I don't want to eat your shrimp cocktail that's been sitting out there for 3 hours. I'm good on that.
Give it to me then. I'll take it.
Funch, you're not going to eat that shrimp
my
cocktail.
My pasta is touching the enchilada, which is touching the cantaloupe. I don't need all that.
And it's also touching my chocolate pudding.
Don't need all that on one plate. By the way, let me just say this about buffets.
Yes.
Look, the concept is awesome. You walk into this place, you got your plate, the plate is warm, you're looking around, I'm like, Chinese food, Italian food, Mexican food, prime rib. It's a pretty amazing thing to see. But then when you actually start eating and put everything together, I'm like, yeah, this probably isn't the best idea.
Yeah. So you said something interesting that makes me question your strategies. Okay, so you just painted a picture where somehow, some way, a piece of fruit makes its way on your plate at a buffet.
I'm just trying to think of, like, by the time you get to that third or fourth plate, and you start now trying to mix in the fruit with, your game plan was, I'm just going to get fruit, but then you're still picking and grabbing an egg roll and a couple other things.
So, like, fruit is delicious. I love fruit. We talked about apples yesterday. Who doesn't love a nice slice of cantaloupe or a couple of rings of pineapple? It's delicious, right? A couple of nice ice-cold cubes of watermelon. Who doesn't like that? That's just it's glorious. But if your plate doesn't have anything but prime rib and eggs Benedict and those sort of items stacked up like the Empire State Building, you're doing it wrong.
By the way, how are they going to do buffets now? I mean, everybody's using the same spoons. That does not sound like – the way we used to do it sounds so foreign now to be able to still do it. Because, Mike, who's behind me, who's I'm handing the spoon to, and I don't know who the hell he is, those days got to be over.
Yeah, that is a BP, a buffet person problem. It's not a Travis problem. How do they find the pod, Slee?
ESPN app or iTunes, search Travis and Sliwa. You get all 5 shows this week.
Friday extravaganza tomorrow, 8:55, Travis and Slee.